etterpå, da kommer også Konstantin og hjelper. Og da går vi videre med dette med delays. Sorry for speaking Norwegian. So we take an exercise, an hour of exercises afterwards. Konstantin will be here and assist. And now we continue with the question of delays. So the last thing that we did was to introduce the notion of third order delays. And again, delays, they are processes that take time to occur, and they are always related to the passage of a flow through a level. And if it's one level, then it is the process of passing and producing some output is a first order delay. If you have two levels connected with each other and you consider the passing through them of an input until it becomes an output, you have a second order delay. And here you see an example of a third order delay. And if I was as long as a giraffe, then I could point with my head there, but I am not. And I wonder if there is some stock or something like I can use. Ah, great. Okay, so the whole construction is a process that results in a third order delay. Entering, delivering, until you get here. That's kind of the input, and that's the output. The inputs in this case are some shipments going through hubs, and the outputs, they are the receipts at the end. And again, Venzim says, instead of doing all this work by yourself, make this construction there and put me, the function delay 3, which you say on the top, inside, and I will do the magic for you. So that means you can simplify model building at the price of making the model perhaps less intuitive, because here you see very clearly the delay through this transition, and you see clearly it's third order, whereas here everything is hidden inside in terms of a mathematical function that you can use. So it has advantages and disadvantages. And there, on the right-hand side, you see two examples of a third-order delay with different inputs, step function, and a pulse. And then in the frontal room, there are examples of the delays. And these examples, they contain Venzim models. Like first order delays. But there should be also some of third order delays, which I don't see at the moment. Let me see. Perhaps here. No, I don't see them right now. Okay, I will find them later. So that we can built on that. Continuing with this. So that was a third order delay. So what is then the pipeline delay expressed by the mathematical function delay fix? Well, such kind of delays, they are called pipeline delays because if you put oil into a pipeline, then it enters with some speed and such shape, and then it continues and continues and continues, and it comes in after some given moment of time. So what pass enter the pipeline at some time comes at the end of the pipeline after some time, and that is the same for all portions of the of the flow of the oil that you are getting inside. So then you get an output that looks exactly like the input, but it comes exactly after a given time out. In contrast to the first and second order delay, which kind of spread the pattern of the input over time. In the case of the pipeline delay, you don't get such spread, you get exactly the same shape out as you got in, but then with some time difference. In terms of the process that is going on, if you add more and more levels, that is, you increase the order of the delay, but keeping the total delay time the same between the input and the output, meaning that the transition from one level to the next becomes shorter and shorter, then the outcome is a pipeline delay. So you will have to have a lot of levels, actually, to have an exact pipeline delay, infinitely many, with very extreme transition times. Of course, this is practically impossible. That's why you will rather prefer to create such construction with only three variables and use the delay fixed function. Just that you see an example as to how to do that, let's take event sim very quickly. So start your event sim. And let's create a new model. We can keep months. It's the same. Let's put weeks here. Weeks. Let's put 50 as a final time. For the time being, we keep the time step one, but as you know, we have to change it for visual accuracy. And then create a variable called input. Create a variable called delayed output. And since I prefer Arial, I make the change here, but that's not necessary for you. And then connect the two. And to indicate that there is a time delay in that, right click on that and put the delay mark. And then put another variable, which is the delay time, and connect it like this. So this should be your model. We need only three variables: the input, the delayed output, and the delay time. You have the same model? Okay. Then let's put as an input a step function, something like, say, 10 plus step, or actually, if you are not wrong, remember the parameters, let's fetch the step here in the among the functions, so here, and then it gives you the height, put 90 from 0 to 100, we want to jump, and the time, let's point here something like 15. And what are we considering? Yeah, anything. Orders or whatever you like. It doesn't matter what we are modeling. Orders or whatever. So that's the input pattern. And as you know, this will create a step function. Now, the delay time, let's put in here something like 30 30 watt week. Click OK. And then the delayed output. And here we look for the delay fix function.
Hello? What happened?
This? Hello. I have to hit it so that it works again. Maybe something is not well turned in. Okay. So we put in the delay fix function. And it takes three functions. The input, which is, we call it input. The delay time, double click on that. Click on delay time here. And the initial value. And normally we initialize with the input as well. So that means the initial value for the delay function is the value that the input has when we start simulating. Okay, so we simulate. Take the input. And as you remember, what we get here doesn't look like a step function. But we remember that we had to choose a time step like 1/16, 0.0625 to get it right. So simulate and check that the input is as it should be, and there you see it. Start at 10, at time 15 it jumps up, then it becomes 100. And you can't trace it because my curve has the label 1 here, which is something that I can do with my professional version of Vensim. You will not be able to do that. You will have to choose other tricks like the thickness of the line in the control panel. Okay, now let's take the input and the delayed output. Click on both. Simulate, or actually we have simulated, so the only thing we know is the graph. And there you see that. So the input is here red, apparently because Vensim interprets this as selected at the end. So 2 is the input, and it jumps here. And the output is here, and it comes there. Let's make it a better visible thing, like by choosing the control panel, graphs, new graph, pipe here, pipeline delay, select as the first variable the input, select as the second variable the delayed output, not the final time, the delayed output. Click here to make both axes the same, that's what it means. Put minimum 0, maximum 120, it makes it a bit more visible if the maximum is 100. And then display, then you can see it clearer. So now is the input, the number 1, the blue, it jumps up here. And then exactly 30 weeks later, that's the delay we put, you get the output, which is the red one here. In your case, let me show how you do that. I will revert to your options. Graphics. Solid for color. Thick lines. I can leave the theme markers. I need to close Vensim and restart to be seen. Okay, let's save this. I don't want to. Well, actually, yes, I can. X class 3 class models pipeline delay. Okay, close, start again. I am a bit surprised what happened here. Let me see. Benzim DSS. I don't quite understand why I am seeing not the last model that I made. Are you sure that you don't have the option in Benzim PLE? Because I have a kind of impression that it is pipeline delay. Okay, control panel, pipeline delay, display. It looks as if you haven't made a change. Let me see what happens if I take the Benzim PLE. Benzim PLE. I don't have it too. There is no tool now. But what I don't understand is why I don't see the changes. So, Benzim DSS, I made the changes. So, tools, options, graphics. Strange. Thick lines. Okay. You will have to close Benzim and restart, and that's what I did. So why it didn't work? Let me see again. Options. It's okay. Okay. Yes, I heard you. Save. Let's see what happens now. Maybe Benzim needs two reminders to do it correctly. Okay, control, pipeline delay, display. Okay. Now we see, different line thicknesses, I believe. Let me modify it. Let's see if that works. Yes. So I have control not only of the, I have still the numbers, but I have also different thicknesses of line. Okay. So you can adjust the thicknesses, but you cannot put the line markers. That much. So the model, we can put an input-output object here. The graph, so that I don't have to show it every time. Like this. And if you choose the syntheseme, and make the timeline smaller, and you can see the impact of this. Short delay time, bigger delay time, and so you can adjust this here. Okay, now let's make a pulse. So if you go here and in the input, take this away, or actually take the step away. Put it here. Let's add a pulse. Okay. So again, you need to say when the pulse happens, let's put 15. Duration, let's put 5. But the pulse that we get has the height of 1, which is not fun. So let's make the pulse 90, so that we get above the line of 10, we get 90 in the top. Okay? So simulate. And that's how it looks now. So you see the pulse occurring at time 15, and you get the delayed output 30 weeks later. If you choose the synthesimes, then you can choose another delay time here. Instead of 30, you choose 10. It looks like this. If instead of 10, you choose 15, and so on. And every time you get exactly the same pattern behind. If you choose the width of a time step, then you get an instantaneous pulse. So let's go inside here. Input. Instead of 5, you choose the time step. And the time step, you can either write it or you can click on variable here and select the time step. And then probably Vensim is saying, you forgot to add me to the graphics. That's what it says. The following inputs were not expected but are used, time step. Do you want to update the input list and modify the diagram? That's what it says. And if I answer yes, then it adds the time step here. As you can see, it's added. Did the same thing happen with you? Did you get the time step as well? I think Vensim PLA occurs a little bit different. Maybe you have to add it by hand. What happened in your case? Yes, so I put in here as duration the time step. And when I click OK, I was told it's not there. Do you want me to fix it? And I said yes, and Vensim fix it. But maybe in your case, you have to add it yourself. What happened then with Vensim PLA? Okay, let me myself show that how to do that. Okay, I'm going to do the following. I'm going to save this and open that with Vensim PLA and see what happens. Open the model. Class 3, class models, pipeline delay. And it goes like this. But now I am taking this away. So here is the guy, delete, takes this away. This cannot be taken away. It cannot be taken away. But let's see what happens. Let me put it for the time here. What happens is I take delete. Let me see. Remove from this view, but do not change model structure. Yes, okay. Now it's okay. Now I have this. I have the time step here, but it is not connected. Let's say what Vensim says. The following inputs were not expected, but I use time step. Okay. Then I am forced to add it myself. How do you do that? Here you see shadow variable. Click on that. And click somewhere. And there you see the time step. Select it. Connect it. And then go again to the definition. Click OK. And now Vensim is happy. Did you do that too? Okay. Now you can simulate. And now you can see that the pulse is instantaneous. Instantaneous means, as I said, it happens in the shortest possible time, which is the time step. That's the shortest time. And again, you see that the delay happens exactly after the delay time. And you can again experiment with synthesim. And if you put here, instead of 30, you put 5. And you see how the output comes in exactly the same shape 5 weeks after. And so on. Here you can change whatever, as much as you like. Isn't that fun? I hope you enjoy that. There's a lot of things you can do with simulation. So, and as I told you, people who can do simulation models, they are very much sought after by consulting companies and so. There are not many of them by some reason. But it takes some time. If you want to become a good modeler, to develop models, then you have to work some while until you have accumulated experience making models of different types and so on. But as I said before, a couple of students of mine have done that over time, and they are performing very well, working for consulting companies and getting high salaries. And one of them is also traveling to Germany and other countries where they require, it's a Norwegian consulting company that is selling solutions, among others, to German banks and institutions and so on. Okay, so we close and then back to the lecture. So now comparison. You can use either the delay function that saves effort or put in level and flows. It's up to you what you wish to choose. If you use function, you save space. Whether you improve understanding, I'm not too sure. But if you put in the model in detail, then you can change the structure if you like, but also I think the process is more visible of what is causing the delays. And then here I survey again. So in practice, unless you are a very advanced modeler, this is all you need for being able to make reasonably good models with delays. And as you see, we have 3 kinds of delays that we use. First order, which we use for processing of information, and where we can either use the function delay one or smooth. They do exactly the same. Or you can use third order delays, which are typically used for when there is some physical or material flow. And there you use the delay 3 function. And finally, you have the pipeline, which in practice is an infinite order delay. There are very many delays going through, but with very short transition times. And here you have a comparison of what happens with a given input and the output. First order is the line mark 2. Third order is the line mark 3. fourth order pipeline is the MIG line 4. And here you have it for a step function, and here you have it for a pulse. And you could make anything you like. So we call pulses and step functions and so on test functions. They are easy to grasp, easy to construct, and you can use it to test the behavior of different things. But the input could be anything. It could be something like this, and then the output will be delayed in some way. What you see is that for low orders, first order, third order, and so on, the delay impact is gradual. Something starts to change, and then it takes time until it arrives that. For the pipeline delay, the output is exactly in shape, exactly the same as the input, and it caps after an exact given amount of time. And here you see finally how you will get the pipeline delay by increasing the orders. So consider as input a pulse, the pulse that you see on the left-hand side. This will be the first order delay. This will be the second order, the third order, the fourth order, the fifth order, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and so on. And you see the changes are very marked from the first to the second order. It is less change from the second to the third order. And the third order to the fourth, fifth, and so on, not very much changes. But as you are increasing the orders, you see how the form, the shape is narrower and narrower, and higher, gradually coming closer and closer to the pulse. So you can imagine here you are up in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th order. So imagine you had the 100th order, then you will be starting here and coming closer to the top and so on. And if you have the 1,000th order, then it will already look like pretty much the pipeline delay. Okay, so there you got an introduction. The next chapter is not, it is quite advanced, we don't need it here. But let me only say that soft variables occur quite often when you are combining using human organizational factors. Soft variables could be like something like motivation, morale, and so on. They are very important. So if you are making a model, say, of a project management something, then the motivation of the employees is, and the morale in the company, all these, they are very important. So even if they are soft and difficult to measure, you cannot neglect them. You know that by yourself, how important it is to be motivated for your performance. Some people say, oh, we cannot measure it exactly, so we drop it. But if you drop an important variable like motivation, then actually you're saying, I give it the value zero. You are giving it a value. Dropping doesn't help. You are giving a value, but you are giving it the worst value that you can give because you're saying it has no importance. So we tend to say in system dynamics, it's better to be approximately correct than exactly wrong. So make a practice of using the variables and the parameters that are important, even if they are difficult to measure or inaccurate values. It's better to have an inaccurate value than to put it zero, which is even more inaccurate. Not at all exact. And there is some ways of how you assess soft variables and account for the fuzziness and so on and so on. But this is a bit advanced for this course, so we stop it. Chapter 14 and 15 are also quite advanced, so we don't need them. Sharing data with other applications, chapter 16. Yes, you can connect in principle Venzim to other applications like Excel and so on, so that you can get input and outputs from other applications. But then you would need the professional version of Ensign. Chapter 17 is to create interfaces and so on. And yes, there are some possibilities of doing that with input sliders and other things, and that you can design quite nice user interfaces. But again, to do that efficiently, you will need the professional version of Ensign, and we have the free one. So, but let's go now to chapter 18, model verification, validation, and testing. It's about how can you trust the model. So you make a model, and the model, the point with making a model is that it should be useful, and that you can trust that the model is as it should be. It expresses the problem that you are interested in, and that there are no mistakes in it, so that it is simulating the wrong way. And remember, the reason why we want simulation models is because we have models in our mind. We don't have the reality in our mind. We don't have this building in our mind. We have a model of the building and so on. So the purpose with models is to allow us to understand what the models say, how they behave and so on. And for this, we need computers. But then the question is, can we trust the model that we have built? And in order to do that, we need some steps: model verification, model validation, model testing. So model verification is actually answering the question, is the model expressing your problem? Have you captured the ideas of your model so that they are the model? Have you captured the your case, your problem, so that it is expressed by the model? So you have some problem description, like the one that I gave you by controls, and you have put some graphics on the board, and then you have to ask, is this model representing the case? When the model is simple, as this morning, so you look for that and you find, yes, there I have the issue of control, yes, I have the question of maintenance there indirectly through the lifetime and so on, and yes, I have the decay or the obsolescences and so on in this way. So you match that, and yes, that's kind of a model description of my problem. When the case is very complicated, then typically you have sub-models, and you analyze the problem by looking at things. Do I have here something like, say, the incident learning, learning from incidents? Do I have here detection of incidents and so on? So, and then you look in these sub-models as to the details and so on. If you are a professional modeler, then you will typically working for a client. The client has a problem, and the client asks you to create a model so as to understand what are the causes of the misbehavior of whatever, and how could you do it better, and so on. The experience shows and tells us that the clients are skeptical about crystal balls. So if you just come back after a couple of weeks and say, here's my model, here's what it says, then your client will feel uneasy, because how can I trust? How do I know that what is the model is correct, that this is not simply bullshit? So that's why we should build the models in close cooperation with the client. Of course, the client will not just sit here where you are building the model, which can take many hours or even days. But there are some steps that are important. So agree with the specification with the client. As soon as you have some graphics and structures to show, go to your client, explain what it is, let him understand. And it is easier for even for non-modelers to understand that if you communicate that. And a good client will know where the problem is and will think, okay, how have you expressed this? And how you put in this and so on. So after passing this, then your client will feel satisfied, yes, the model seems to correspond to my problem. Then the next step is validation. In validation, we have gone to the process of putting in parameters, equations, and so on. And then you start simulation, and the idea is to test if the output of the model, the simulation, is reasonable. And there we have a number of things to look for so as to gain confidence in the model. Listen to what I say. I say confidence. You want to trust the model. Very often, it is impossible to prove that the model is correct because it is not like the use of mathematics as you learned at school. You can go to that and deliver a mathematical proof that it is correct. So with simulation models, we have a less ambitious goal, but a more realistic goal, and that is to get evidence that allow us to trust, to believe that the model is useful, that it is reasonably correct. So what do we have in order to validate the model? Typically, we will have stories of the past. Your client will tell you about this is what happened in the past. And the more such data you have, so-called reference behavior, the more you can test the model against what happened in the past. Then perhaps the client has experimented with different actions, with different interventions and policies to improve the behavior of the system. Then you could experiment by implementing these different policies and see what happens. But in addition to things that relate to data CDs from the past, the reference behavior, then you could have also desires as to, I would like that, we improve our learning from incidents. And then you could manipulate the model, do some experiments, and see what kind of changes you have to do for increasing the learning, like this. Then other things that you could do is to test the model against extreme situations. Extreme situations, there are situations where you can't predict what happens. So for instance, your model should show that if there are no incidents, there are no damages. If you have a model and you make the incident zero, no intrusions, and still all damages are occurring, then something is wrong with your model. In the other extreme situation, you could go to the extreme that there are a huge amount of incidents, and your model should show that there are a huge amount of damages, and so on. So there is a number of extreme situations where you can test if your model is behaving. So the more such tests you conduct, and the more you see that your model is behaving in relation to reproducing given data or matching the stream behavior, the more you will trust the model. And then you come to this situation where you can use the model for analysis and so on. Here is a recap of what I told you about validation techniques. Extreme condition testing, also calibrate new parameters. You can also test for the sensitivity of the model. So if I change a little bit, what happens? This is important.